Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, June the 5th. It's 8 o'clock p.m. That means it's time on WDCU, Daniel Clark. Let's Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio on the Internet for the Coach Ricky Clark, Coach Joe Ledford. Let's Talk Sports. We're going to change that name, and I'll tell you why. It's not the best name I've ever heard, and we've got some folks taking a look at that. If anybody has any ideas what they think we ought to call this show, give us a call. I've heard Coach's Corner, the Coach's Office, Coach's Link, Coach Clark. It's been suggested to me that we need to change this, the name of this show from the Coach Ricky Clark, Coach Joe Ledford, Let's Talk Sports. What do you think? Reckon we ought to change our name?
You know me, Joe. I go with the flow.
You go with the flow. Well, I tell you what, if there ever was a flow goer, Ricky Clark, Coach Ricky Clark is that flow goer. And, Coach, it's time for me to remind everybody that this show is brought to you in part by the good folks over at Players Sporting Goods, 5737 North Graham Street in Charlotte, North Carolina, for all your sporting good needs. And if you want to call in tonight, that Players Sporting Goods guest call-in line is 888-689-4061. And, you know, Ricky, I thought we had a real good show last night with head coach Barry Shuford of the Olympic Trojans. Guys coached just about everywhere at every level, college, 2A, 3A, 4A, one of the premier programs in America. Butler High School built that program, turned it over to our good friend Mike Newsom, who won two state championships and now is over at A.L. Brown. Not a bad coaching gig in itself. So we had a great show. So we got an open show tonight, got an opportunity to talk a lot about sports. And, you know, Ricky, on this show a couple of different times I've talked about, you know, just the cheating that goes on in sports. And, you know, something on the front page of the Charlotte Observer sports section, I see where a NASCAR driver, Brad Keselowski, had his second infraction this year. Keeps costing him a bunch of points. But the big news is Major League Baseball is looking to seek some major suspensions, as much as 100 games for some guys like, you know, the 2011 National League Most Valuable Player, Ryan Braun, A-Rod. I mean, you know, these are household names if you're a baseball guy, Coach. And, you know, there's some other folks involved. Let me see if I can find that list again. But it just amazes me why these guys don't get it. I mean, Ricky, I'm looking here that, you know, Braun is 29. Rodriguez, who's hadn't played yet this year, is 37. Of course, he's owed about $105 million from the Yankees through 2017. They might want to try to get out of that contract. But I see that Nelson Cruz, the right fielder, you know, guy, you know, slugger for the, you know, the Rangers, Texas Rangers, you know, Johnny Peralta, shortstop for my Tigers. I've loved the Detroit Tigers forever. Disappointed to see one of their guys on that potential list. Cortolo Colon, the 2005 American League Cy Young winner, who's 6-2 for the Athletics this year. Melky Cabrera, playing with the Blue Jays. You know, he signed a two-year contract with the Blue Jays after a positive test ended his tenure with the Giants. And indirectly, they say Yankees second baseman Robinson Cano, but the jury's still out on him. And Nationals left fielder Gio Gonzalez is recorded in the Biogenesis records. That doesn't mean he did anything. And, you know, ESPN has opened this story, made it a national story. And, you know, Ricky, it makes our job harder to talk to young kids about doing the right thing, about being the right athlete, about having the right character, the right attitude, when, you know, the superstars of the game and, you know, one of the top drivers in NASCAR, Keselowski, are making headlines today by being outside the rules. I just, you know, that I don't get it, Coach. I'm sorry, I just don't get it.
But, Joe, nobody wants to train. You know, these performance-enhancing drugs, you know, these guys are not doing anything. Those drugs are not doing anything for you that you couldn't get with extra training. It's, you know, steroids is a lazy man's drug. It really is. You want the top performance, but you don't want to put the time in. And all of my athletic career, starting with Pee Wee football all the way through college, and I've never been approached. I've never been approached by anyone that was juicing. You know, I knew people that were. I'd never seen them juiced, but I, you know, people on steroids have that plastic look about their skin, and you know, just bad acne, and you know, kind of unstable when it comes to being angry. You know, it's easy to spot it. You know, an unusual shaped muscle that's just look like it's about to pop through your skin. You know, it's not that many hours in the day. You know, so it's easy to spot, but it's a lazy man's drug. It is now and has always been.
Well, you know, Ricky, it's you think about it. It's an incredible step for the commissioner to say he wants to impose a 100-game suspension. You know, they're about 60 games into the season, and of course, the Major League Players Association will, you know, appeal that length of a suspension. But you know, there comes a point where, as the commissioner, you know, you're either the commissioner of something special, or you're the commissioner of something that's not special. And if you're gonna be commissioner, and if you want your game to be a great game, the American pastime, you know, and it historically has been the American pastime, you know, you do have to take a big stand. And now, do I know that I agree with a 100-game suspension? Frankly, I don't. I don't agree with a 100-game suspension. I think they should just throw the guys out of the game, period. I mean, you know, this business of suspending guys for breaking the rules, 100 games of suspension comes, it goes, and they'll probably be right back at it. And if they really want to get serious about the, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, they just get rid of them. I mean, make it real simple. Don't sign a collective bargaining agreement that says if you're going to cheat, and that's what it is, cheating, that we're going to suspend you for a time period. How about just telling folks, if you do it, you're gone? You know, there are a lot of professions, Coach, that if you have a felony conviction, you can't get a license to engage in certain professions. Well, you know, the biggest felony, if you will, the greatest crime in being an athlete, frankly, is cheating by way of doping this day and age. And so what's wrong with just kicking people out of it? I'm sorry, I don't understand it. And as a guy who every day tries to be, you know, a fellow who teaches the right things to young athletes, I am damn tired of picking up the paper and reading about cheating professional athletes. I really don't care if I never see any one of these guys again. I don't know how, and maybe I'm being too hard on them about that, Coach, but that's just how I feel about it. And I heard them. Go ahead.
Do you see any difference in baseball, a guy out here juicing or taking a performance-enhancing drug, and a guy that takes a drill and open end of his bat and put a weight in it, or a guy that you know, takes a piece of sandpaper out there, a pitcher, and scuff the ball? It changes what you would normally be able to do as a pitcher. It changes how far when you load a bat up. It changes how far you will normally be able to hit that ball. It changes the distance, and you know, a lot of times a home run, you know, there ain't no home runs that go 100 yards over the outfield fence. It's usually, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 15 feet, you know. So mm-hmm. I don't see the difference in, you know, the pitcher that sandpapers a ball, you know, to throw his slide or get a little bit more movement on his slide or curveball, or got it go out there and loads a bat to get a little bit more pop off the bat on his swing, and a guy using performance enhancing drugs.
I don't either. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, they need to be consistent, and all of those should follow the exact same rules because cheating is cheating.
Cheating is cheating, but you know something, in a lot of ways it goes back to, remember caller Brad. This time last week, Brad called in and said that he was one of those guys that bought those $25,000 to $50,000 a year seats, and he, you know, he was taking people to those games, and so guys like Brad would say, "I suspend them and let them come back, because if I'm going to pay that kind of money for that kind of seat, I want to see the best players that I can possibly see." And that really does kind of go back to the point that I was making last week, that, you know, it's taking three steps is cheating, Ricky, because it's outside the rules of the game. I mean, you know, and I know it's not the same thing, because it's an immediate infraction, an immediate violation, and, you know, but to me, and you're right, cheating is cheating, and we have a caller on the Players Call-In guest line on Daniel Clark Let's Talk Radio, WDCU. I believe we have Colt Butler calling us tonight. Is that right, Colt?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And, you know, folks, since we started this show, I have been saying that the show was brought to you in part by the good folks over at Players Sporting Goods. And tonight, one of those folks joined us, Colt. Since March, Ricky and I have been telling folks on this show that if they have sporting goods needs, they can go over to Players and y'all can meet their need. And you're on the show with Coach Ricky Clark and myself. And, you know, we're looking forward to spending about 15 minutes talking about equipment, which in some ways ties into the subject matter that we're talking about. We have been talking about these folks in Major League Baseball who have been doping and might get 100-game suspensions. We got Brad Keselowski has infractions in dealing with his car, and he gets fined some points and whatnot. It's his second violation of the year. But, you know, Colt, the one thing that I think people don't understand about sports is it's about equipment. And, you know, tell us a little bit about Players, what y'all have over there, and what you do for Players Sporting Goods.
All right. Yeah, first I want to say thanks for letting me call in. I know y'all been trying to get on Dad, but I guess I'll have to do for tonight. But I got a lot of stuff at Players that can help you out as far as if you want to be an elite player, with stuff that's not only going to make you play better, but also make you safer while you play. At Players, we do a lot of team sales. What that means is that we go to the schools and actually sell to them the stuff they need, from uniforms to footballs to field goal posts to bleachers, you name it. We try to be that one-stop shop for everybody. But we also, another part of Players is that we have a retail spot on North Graham Street where we try to cater to people who want real good quality stuff. And we try to be a little bit different because we do have a lot of competition. We're a local-owned, family-owned company, so we have a lot of corporate competition. So we try to cater to people who want to find good quality stuff without having to look through so much clothing and stuff like that. We kind of let them have that kind of business, but instead we try to specialize in equipment that's hard to find.
You know, Colt, it's And I think what a lot of people don't understand, and one of the reasons why I've been after your dad, and I'm glad you could join us on the show tonight, is because there are people who listen to this show, and there are people that want to buy for teams. And, you know, Ricky, if you were going to order for if you were going to get your football order in, when would you? You've been buying equipment for James Martin Middle School since you became athletic director. What, about 10 years ago? You know, you just don't walk into a sporting goods store and say, "Hey, I need 50 jerseys," do you? Tell us a little bit about that process from the school's perspective, and anybody who's thinking about a team sport, what do you go through when you're dealing with somebody like Colt to make that purchase?
Well, you have to get in there and look at all that Players has to offer, and they have a huge array of uniform style and different vendors in there. You want to make sure, especially from our standpoint, that you're buying quality stuff, because on a middle school budget, you know, those uniforms always have to last at least 4 years per sport. So you're almost rotating. If you're buying for football, you need to get your order in no later than mid July if you expect to use that equipment for your upcoming season. I have waited the last minute and got in there and got a lot of stuff back, which, you know, no special thanks on my part, but Cody and those guys worked real hard to make sure that I got my equipment in on time. But the process is finding something that looks good on the athlete, something that's going to last, and you know, getting your purchase order in, because it has to come from Colt's hand back to you, for me, back to the financial secretary, and then it has to go in Lawson, which is, you know, it's just some software that Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools uses to track everything that they buy. You know, CMS will not buy used equipment under any circumstances. They are not going to give you extra money under any circumstances. So, you know, you have to buy good quality stuff, and Code has always done a great job and you know, steered me in the right direction. We still have jerseys and pants that we've been playing in for, you know, 15 years that are in excellent condition, and there's no reason for me to replace them because, you know, we bought right the first time, and they're in good condition, and you know, you're talking 15 years of use. So yeah, they do a great job over at Player Sports.
And you know, Colt, one of the things that is the, you know, and your dad, as you know, I mean, and folks who don't know this, and one of the reasons I want David Butler to come on this show is because David is the Southeast Director for the NSA, which stands for the National Softball Association, and they are one of about four major softball organizations that caters to adult softball and fast pitch and some slow pitch, mainly for the girls at the youth levels, and of course I'm the active national commissioner and general counsel for Nations Baseball, which is, you know, one of the growing national tournament baseball associations. And you know, Colt, there's a lot going on about bats right now for softball and for baseball. And you know, a lot of people are asking me what type of bat should I get for my child. And you know, to be totally honest with you, I don't keep up with that. So, you know, Colt, if people are looking to buy a bat for their kid, what are some of the things that they should look for, given the restrictions that high school, middle school, and some of these associations have? Same thing's true with softball. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in the bat industry, because it is a huge deal.
All right, I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. So for a lot of these rec leagues, you need to check with your league to see what kind of bats are approved. For small kids, you have Little League, you have Babe Ruth. For Little League, for instance, requires that the barrel on your bat be no larger than 2 1/4 inches. So, and that can vary depending on where you're playing. So you need to check with your league and see, first of all, which bats are legal for you to use. And then when you come in the store, one advantage for coming to see me is I'll help, you know, size up your kid and get them the right weight and the right length that they need to be swinging. Each kid's different. Some kids are stronger than others and need different weights. So if you come in, I can help you figure out which one that is. Then when they get a little bit older, they can go to big barrel bats.
And what do you mean by a big barrel bat? What exactly is that?
Big barrel means the diameter of the barrel is larger. So like I said before, you need a 2 1/4 inch barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Next step up is 2 5/8. So that would be considered a big barrel bat. You also can get a 2 3/4 inch bat. And that's another thing you need to check on your league with the older kids. Can I use a 2 3/4? Am I restricted to 2 5/8 inch bats? And
well,
then
and
there
Colt,
again, it's
look,
just
look,
a matter
let me
of...
Let me stop you there just for a minute. Don't most of these associations have their bat restrictions online, where you can actually go to Little League, or you can go to Nations, or you can go to BPA, which is the baseball side of NSA, and folks that have those bat specifications and those bat limitations and requirements, they're going to put those online. And so most folks, before they actually come to see you, you're right, should check that, because these bats aren't cheap, are they?
No, sir. They're really expensive, so you want to make sure you're buying the right one the first time.
But you were going, go ahead and finish on with what you were saying. I did want to jump in with that point, because you were talking about getting the right bat sized up, you know, the restrictions and the difference between the big barrel and the smaller barrel bats. But
yeah,
to get into high school
and
middle
right.
school, what are some of the restrictions that you're aware of that go on there?
Well, as far as middle school goes, each county is in charge of making their own rules. So, for instance, for here in Mecklenburg County, one of the restrictions is that your bat cannot be now for middle school in Mecklenburg, you have to swing BB core bats. So what that means is the restrictions on the bat is a little more, the bats aren't as hot because of the BB core standards. BB core is how hard the ball can actually come off the bat. So the bats aren't quite as hot, which makes it safer, and honestly it makes it a little bit better game because little Johnny that's, you know, can't fight his way out of a wet paper bag can hit it over the fence. This makes it a little more challenging. So for that means, you know, you have to try a little bit harder to get on base. But for middle school, that means they can also only swing a -3 bat. That means that the bat cannot weigh anything less than -3 of the length. So you subtract the length of the bat.
So, for instance, a 32-inch bat has to weigh at least 29 ounces, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct. So it's strict rules, and that's what they'll make you have. So you want to make sure if you're in middle school in Mecklenburg County, you're swinging a BB core bat. Now, for a private school league in Mecklenburg County, they let you swing a -5. So that's something if your child goes to a private school, you can swing a -5. You don't have to swing BB core. If they're going to public school, then at middle school, then they need to swing a BB core bat.
Now let me jump in and give a little bit of an explanation for folks why that came to be, and sometimes what people don't understand about safety rules in sports, they're generally dictated to associations by underwriters groups, the insurance companies, and I think insurance companies, you know the NFL is passing a lot of safety rules and people are saying they're making the game soft. No, they're making the game insurable because, you know, at the end of the day, NSA is a business. Nations Baseball is a business. Major League Baseball is a business. College athletics, they say they're not, but boy, they become a business. But before you go onto a field and play a thing, and Coach Clark, you know, we got to get our fields ready. Guess what? Tournament again. Can't wait. But, and it just rained. Hopefully this will be the end of it for a while. But, you know, that has to be an insured event. And it, for every injury that you see in every game at every single level, some insurance company is paying medical insurance doctor bills, surgery. You know, in the cases of professional athletes, they're paying for lost wages and whatnot. And the insurance companies have insisted that all associations from Little League, Youth League, all the way up to professional adopt reasonable rules to, you know, make certain that the game is safer and limiting their risk. And they're entitled to do that, folks, because I can assure you, if somebody wants to use their facility out at James Martin, they don't have an insurance policy. We're not going to allow it because the school's certainly not going to pay those medical bills. And the other thing that was happening, when Colt was talking about hot bats, there was the development of the aluminum and the titanium bat, the composite bat, as that technology was growing, you know, like Colt was talking about, you would see an average hitter able to, you know, get the ball out of the ballpark. By that I mean hitting a home run. And the reason that created a problem is at a collegiate level, you'd see a guy swinging those really hot composite or aluminum bats, you know, hitting 360, 400. But then when they get into the minor leagues, hitting a wood bat, all of a sudden, they're down to $160,200, and this kid just signed a $1 million signing bonus. And Major League Baseball pretty much insisted that the colleges go to a bat that was more consistent with the wood bat that they're using at minor league and in Major League Baseball. And Colt, y'all saw a lot of wood bats too over there, don't you?
Yes, sir, we do.
And what is the line that y'all carry?
We carry mostly Louisville Slugger. We also have a selection of Rollins bats, but mostly Louisville Slugger in the store.
Well, when you think about baseball, you think about Louisville Slugger, and y'all are the southeastern distributor for Louisville Slugger. You know, Coach, you bought a bunch of football helmets, so why don't you ask Colt a few questions about football helmets so that you can help? Because there are a lot of people that go in that store and what they're looking for, and you do most of the purchasing about that. So I'm going to let you handle the football side of the equipment with Cole tonight.
So anything new coming down the pipe with that shoot helmet that I need to know about before I come in July to order?
Everything's pretty much staying the same on the youth side of things for shut. They still got, you're usually buying the DNA recruits. They're still keeping that one because it's been a solid helmet for them. But where they are coming out with some new stuff is in the adult side. They got a new helmet coming out. It's called the Vengeance. It's their new latest and greatest as far as safety goes. It's tested highest on as far as concussion ratings go. I've actually sold a few of those because people are, you know, getting more and more concerned about concussions.
Yeah, I saw at my last AD's meeting, I don't know how it ended up in our meeting, but there was a helmet cover. It's a padded cover that parents can buy to actually slip over top of a football helmet. And I'm struggling to see how that would make a helmet safer if the padding on the outside of the helmet instead of the inside. Help me out with that one.
Right. I'm familiar with the piece you're talking about. It wraps on the outside of the helmet, and actually I think they put air in it or something like that. I had the rep come and show it to me. I'm as skeptical as you are about it. We don't sell them at Players. We just try to go ahead and sell you a helmet that's safe and doesn't need anything extra to it. I know that you want to, you know, put the safest thing on your child's head. But if you come, you know, and go ahead and spend the money on a nice helmet, then you won't have to worry about that, and you don't need anything extra on the outside of the helmet to help out with concussion.
You know, Colt, I'll tell you, it's you know, one of the things that Ricky and I have found, and there are places that probably on given items might be able to beat the price of a more quality piece of equipment or more quality uniform. But the one thing that Players has always been able to do is to get that rush order. Y'all have that print shop right down the street from you. You also have been that committed to customer service where, you know, you need something, you know, it's Tuesday, you're playing on Thursday, and you need something put together, unless it's a special order item. If you got it in stock, you guys can get a turnaround on that pretty quick over there. Is that not right?
Yes, sir. That's one of the advantages we have at Players is that we are capable of doing our own screen printing and embroidery. We have a 12-head and a 4-head embroidery machine, and we have 3 printing carousels. So, you know, we turn normal goods around in 2 weeks, which is very quick in the screen printing world. And if there is something that you need, you know, in a hurry, as Coach Clark can attest to, that we can help you out there too. But yeah, we're definitely not going to tell you that we're always going to have the rock bottom price. We're going to give you a really good price on it. But we're also going to give you service, and you're going to know where to find us when, you know, stuff goes wrong.
And folks, if you want to find David, the owner, Colt, his son, Denise, and I still say Denise runs the place, you can go to 5737 North Graham Street. That's here in Charlotte. Or you can call 704-598-7966. And for those of you that don't like to go into the store but like to go online, you can go on to your computer, hit the internet, and go to www.playersls.com. That's www.playersls.com, where Ashley, Colt's sister, can handle all of your internet needs. And Colt, you know, want to thank you for coming on the show with us tonight, and we thought we'd use it as an opportunity to plug Player Sporting Goods, because Ricky, they've been mighty good to us over at James Martin Middle School, and it's nice having them right around the corner. So for us, it's a little easier just to hop in our car and drive about 3 or 4 minutes, and we're at Player Sporting Goods. But folks, there's nothing like walking through a sporting goods store. And, you know, Colt, one of the things when I'm over there, sometimes I just go over there, Ricky and I'll go over there and just hang out in the afternoon, and we'll sit at that table in the back of the store, kind of like our barbershop, if you will. But, you know, and this brings me to the last question I wanted to ask you about, Colt, because you see parents coming in all the time wanting to buy gloves for their kids, that baseball glove. And there's just something that is just kind of ooey-booey-ish for me watching Daddy go into, or Mom, go into a sporting goods store, in particular Player Sporting Goods store, and watching them pick out that ball glove for that kid. Because for me, it was Kmart. Ricky, I'm sure you remember those days. Every birthday, I'd get $5 for my birthday. I'd go straight to Kmart, and I'd buy that Alkaline glove made by Rawlings. You know, Colt, what kind of gloves have y'all got over there?
We carry a lot of different gloves. We carry Rawlings, we carry Louisville, we carry Wilson, we carry Nakona, and you know, we carry a full line of all that stuff. So we definitely can help you out and find which glove you need.
And again, if you want to go over there, and the thing to do is just go take a look at the place, and you know, and understand this, that athletic equipment is just like anything and everything else. You want quality, you got to pay for quality. Might be a little bit more, but I'd rather buy a good glove once than three mediocre gloves over the next 2 years. Colt, thank you for joining us tonight. Be welcome on this show as a special guest anytime, and we will have your dad back on because I do want to talk about, you know, NSA softball. I want to get Don Mason on to talk about Nations Tournament baseball because there are just so many kids in this area that are participating in those games. And I want to thank you for being our special guest tonight, and we'll look forward to having you back on the Coach Ricky Clark, Coach Joe Ledford, Let's Talk Sports on WDCU, Daniel Clark, Let's Talk Radio.
Thanks, guys.
Well, Ricky?
Yeah.
We've done our good deed for Player Sporting Goods. They have been a mighty good friend to us over at James Martin Middle School. And, you know, David Butler has gone out of his way to help you and to help me, and that translates into help for the kids. You know, we got 29 minutes left on this show, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the NBA Finals. So let's talk about it. Miami Heat's going to win in five games.
I don't think five. I'm hoping to see seven games. I really am, because you know after this, it's baseball for what, a couple of more months, and then we have baseball and football. And not that I have anything against baseball. I love baseball. Just wasn't my favorite sport to play. If it came anywhere near the plate, I'd take a swing at it, and I'm just not as good as I should have been at it. Didn't really take it that serious, but I enjoyed playing nevertheless. So, I would love to see a seven-game series. A lot of people has said that, you know, on paper, that everybody, that the Spurs could possibly win this series. They are quick to point out the two key players for the Spurs, and that's Duncan and Parker. You know, with Parker, it's just so quick off the dribble, and they run that pick and roll as if Greg Popovich invented it. You know, it's hard to defend. Indiana exposed some flaws in Miami's defensive armor in that series, that they had trouble defending the pick and roll, but I thought they adjust to it pretty good the last two games of the series. I thought they made good adjustments. It's always going to be hard to guard a Tim Duncan. It just is. He's a mid-range jump shot shooter. He's not going to take you outside the 3-point line, but he almost never missed down inside 10 feet, and he's a good passer. And you got Parker that on that pick and roll can get to the rim as quick as anybody playing, or pop back out and take that little 3-point jump shot. But you know, everybody's pointing out how great the Spurs is, but I think just like they pose a matchup problem for Miami, I think Miami pose a huge matchup problem for them. It does, you know, they can't put Duncan on LeBron. LeBron's 6'8", 240 pounds. You know, with point guard skills, can they put LeBron on Tony Parker? Absolutely. I don't know why they would, but they could. They could make it a nightmare for Parker trying to shoot over a 6'8" guy. You know. Then you got Boz. If Boz steps out 15 feet away from the basket, it's going to be interesting to see if Duncan follow him out there. If they're smart, they don't even match Duncan up on Boz. But it does not matter who they put in there to guard Boz. He has to be tall. Boz is 7 feet. He has to be one of their big men, and I just don't think I think once you do that, in trying to match it with Miami, it takes a team like the Spurs out of what they are good at doing. You know, so Miami poses just a bigger problem. And if Wade played like he played the last game, he put up 20 points. LeBron put up 32. Boston do a lot of scoring, but they didn't really need the scoring from him. They got what they needed from him. He had like 7 rebounds in the first quarter, and that's what they really needed from him. They, you know, he played good defense. They tightened the defense down. So I'm hoping for a 7-game series. I really am.
Coach, I would hope for a 7-game series, but I got to say that I was real disappointed with Indiana in Game 7 on Monday night. And I say I'm disappointed in Indiana. I think Indiana gave as good a shot as they had. The only chance I felt like they had to win that series was to not give LeBron that uncontested layup at the end of Game 1 that gave Miami a 1-point win there. I think they had to steal one from Miami at home. Turns out, you know, that was right. But, you know, it just had to steal two, actually. But, you know, I just see Miami as too good. I'll have to say that I've never been a huge LeBron James fan. I'm not real excited about the guys that skip college and go pro. Not that I blame them. I mean, that's not fair. That's not a fair thing for me to say. I just love the college game so much. I'd love to see LeBron play college ball. I'd love to see Kobe play college ball. Moses Malone was the first guy, you know, supposed to go to the University of Maryland, would have been on those great teams with John Lucas, Len Elmore, Tommy McMillan, Mo Howard. You know, could you imagine how good that team would have been with Moses Malone on it? They truly would have been the UCLA of the East. But, you know, Ricky, As much as I don't care for LeBron, I didn't like this one-hour special for him to come out and tell us which team he was going to play on. And yet ESPN was as much to blame for that as LeBron, because I frankly didn't care where the man went. I mean, I cared, but I certainly didn't care enough to watch a television show for an hour to see his announcement. But I'll say this. The man is capable of carrying a team to a championship. Having said that, I think that makes him one of two players in the history of the league, the modern league, that have been able to do that. Now, Bill Russell was able to do it back when he was the only guy his size, except for Chamberlain. He could do that. But in this day and age, with so many great athletes, so many teams, so much, you know, coastal travel, going back and forth across the country. I mean, LeBron James showed me the other night that he is every bit the champion that he was last year. I think he's going to get his second ring this year. If they don't get one next year, I think it's going to be because guys are aging out at Miami. And, Ricky, I'm prepared to say that, at least as far as I'm concerned, he's the best all-around basketball player I've ever seen. The man, as you pointed out on this show and in a lot of the discussions that we've had, he can play in the paint. He can play from the outside. He can run the fast break. He can pass. He can defend. And, you know, and he's not a hot dog about it. The man just goes out and does. He's everything that a pro basketball player should be. And I think that he is the reason that Miami went from being a good NBA team to being one of the great all-time teams ever. I mean, look at their record this year, Coach. I mean, they just, they just went out and literally dominated a professional sports. And, you know, and that's not something that you actually see. You generally don't see one team doing that. You know, okay, Miami did it one year with the Dolphins, and, you know, there have been a couple of times that New England has gone on those long winning runs, but neither time they didn't win the championship either time that they did. But I just think that LeBron might be the best all around basketball player in the history of the game. And you know, having watched Michael Jordan play since he was a freshman in college, it kind of pains me to say that. But if I had to choose between the two, I think I'd take LeBron. How about you?
Oh, you know, you were talking, Joe, about carrying a team. Look at what happened to the Thunder when Westbrook went down, that
That's
point
right.
guard went down. It was they were done, you know. And everybody talk about how great Kevin Durant is. He's an excellent ball player, but carrying the team when you lose a player the caliber of Westbrook, that made a huge difference. And it turned that team into just a jump shot shooting team, and they were out of the playoffs quick, fast, in a hurry. You know,
they were.
If you look at Miami, if you really think about it, Wade had 20 points in Game 7. Try to remember when the last time Wade put up 20 points in the playoffs. It's been a minute, yet they continued to win. And that is the difference between, say, a LeBron James or a Westbrook or a Carmelo Anthony. Look at New York. Good gracious. The point guard for New York is not scoring. Carmelo did not carry that team. You know, Amar'e Stoudemire came back, didn't carry the team. Smith, you know, throw an elbow and get put out of the game, get kicked out for a game. That changed that whole series.
It did. It absolutely did.
Just like that. Again, if you compare the teams that have the big guns, the Carmelo at New York, Miami, LeBron's, and Westbrook and Kevin Down at the with the Thunder, these guys all at some point had an opportunity to show that they're worth the money that they're being paid. And I'm not trying to take anything from them. I'm just drawing a comparison to what has happened with Miami. And, you know, you and I were saying this in the Indiana series. Wade had no lift at all in his step. You know, he couldn't drive off, but yet they kept winning. The Pacers bench outscored them 3 or 4 games, just ridiculously outscored them. LeBron took over that game 7, and at the end of the day, it did not matter who they put on him. He either scored on them or he got them in foul trouble. And, you know, people keep talking about Duncan, this great center. I like Tim Duncan. I like his game. But you know, let's not forget that Roy Hibbert is 7'2" with a jump shot, and will throw your shot up in the cheap seats. You know, they made it past him. Whether you know, LeBron got him in foul trouble driving the rim. I'm not saying that the Spurs don't have a chance because they're playing in the finals, so they have a chance. But I'm just saying that. I think it's hard for anybody to take 4 games off Miami in a 7-game series. You know, I was looking, so the first 2 games are going to be in Miami. Okay, then the next 3 games will be at the Spurs. Then the last 2 games will be in Miami. So at some point, the Spurs have got to go into South Beach and win a game. They have to. If they win all 3 home court games, they still got to win a game in Miami. And Miami don't necessarily have to win a game at the Spurs' house. So I think this is really set up for a good 7-game series. If Miami goes to the Spurs' house and win a game, I think it's a wrap. I really do.
Coach, I think they're going to come out 2-0 from Miami. I think that the Spurs will rally in front of their home crowd, win that third game. I think it'll be 2-1, and everybody will say we've got ourselves a series. But I'm going to tell you something about LeBron James. I think the man is tired of playing this year. I think he put on his game face the other night, and that game face that he's got, it shows you an intensity and a level of seriousness. And, you know, Coach, he is truly at the prime of his physical strength, his physical stamina. He's at the top of his game. And, you know, if you want to get right down to it, Michael Jordan, in a lot of ways, I was, you know, we all, in this area, we were pulling for the Bulls because of Michael Jordan. But, you know, when they were winning those six championships, you know, they did the same thing then that, you know, Miami's doing now, and that is making everybody else playing for second place. And, Coach, I think that they'll win game three down in San Antonio. But after that, I think LeBron is going to say, I'm ready for summer to start, and I'm not going to stretch this out for another week and a half. I think he's going to get his guys on that, you know, on that same train with him, and I think they're going to blow through it. I personally think that the layoff, it will give the Spurs a little bit more time to rest. They're older guys, but that also means they're more mature and more experienced guys, and they got guys on that team that have been NBA champions, so they know what that's about. But Ricky, there's just you and I are almost 60, and we don't have the energy we had 5 years ago. You know that? I mean, we spend more time under that tent, you know, at the field on Saturday. We spend more time sleeping than we did years ago. And, you know, while those guys aren't our age, the truth of the matter is, it's tough to go out there and run with those young guys. You know what? I mean, those young guys have got some energy. Now, if Wade is hurt, and if he's hurt and that gets aggravated, then, you know, I think that's what it's going to take to push it into Game 6 and Game 7. Maybe I'm wrong, because I was dead wrong about Indiana. I felt like the Pacers would lose to them 4-1. So I was dead wrong about that, and I think a lot more of Indiana than I did before that series. I got to say this, Coach, they gave it everything they had, but when it came down to nut-cutting time, they were just out of juice.
Yeah, and, you know, I watched Game 7. Wade seems to be getting his legs back under him, played really well, you know, driving off that knee that's supposed to have been bothering him, and, you know, coming out of there, and, you know, the last few minutes of the game, he sat, so he left that game in good shape. You know, they're not, you know, Pat Riley and that crew down there, they're not stupid. You know,
no,
they're going to take care of him. I got into an interesting conversation with one of the guys, a guy named Ronnie from Building Services today. We were talking about LeBron, and, you know, Ronnie doesn't care too much for LeBron, and, you know me, I'm gonna ask why. I'm like, well, you know, why? He's like, well, you know, the first reason, he said, they put on this big show for an hour about where he was going. I said, Ronnie, that was more ESPN. I said, and, you know, these professional athletes, they don't work for free. I said, ESPN sold a ton of commercials. I said, you saw it. You know, I know you saw it because you hate him. So I know you sitting there watching. I said, think about how many commercials they had right up to LeBron telling us exactly where he's going. Think about how many commercials you sat through before that actual moment. Think about how much they was charging those companies per 30 seconds. I said, he made money. I said, you know, he said, well, you know, he did Cleveland. No, he did not do Cleveland any kind of way. He didn't demand to own half of the franchise in Cleveland. He asked them year in and year out to get some help. Get me some help. At one point, he even offered to give back money, you know, take some of my salary, but get me some help in here. It never did. God, I wish I could think of the guy's name they brought in there supposedly to get him some help. Was it Shaquille O'Neal?
Did Shaquille end up in
Cleveland for a little while?
I honestly don't remember.
I'm gonna have to look it up. I remember it being a player on his way out, and I knew then that they were not taking this guy serious. When a player the caliber of LeBron comes to you and says, "Hey, look, I need some help and I want a championship ring," you know, the one time that they made it to the playoffs against the Spurs, he was all that they had, and he was a young guy. He was just, you know, new into the league, that type thing. So, you know, I asked Ronnie today, I said, Ronnie, what is wrong with him wanting to better his position? I said, you know, and I have absolutely nothing against Cleveland, But I actually, you know, I actually think Cleveland is just a colder version of maybe Gastonia. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But my opinion, I think it's just a colder, bigger version of Gastonia. And, you know,
well,
you got to have
let's be fair.
To make more money.
I mean, they got the Browns. They got the Indians. They do have the Cavaliers. They did have LeBron James. They had the great Jim Kelly. They had who else? Okay, we'll stop there. But you know, Bob Feller, they had the great Bob Feller pitcher for the Cleveland Indians back in the dark ages, you know. But Ricky, I think that, you know, I didn't feel like criticism of Julius Peppers was fair when he left the Panthers. I didn't feel like criticism of LeBron James was fair when he left Cleveland. That's the nature of free agency. I didn't feel bad about A-Rod leaving, you know, the Texas Rangers, even though it's you know, I mean, there is nothing wrong with a man taking advantage of the legitimate, you know, voted upon, approved rules of free agency. And, you know, I mean, there was a time in your lifetime and mine, Rick, where that owner owned your contract and you played for, you know, Kurt Flood for the the St. Louis Cardinals sued Major League Baseball trying to get away from the Cardinals. The Cardinals owned his contracts. He couldn't. Was it Kurt Flood? Yeah, Kurt Flood. And yeah, the fight broke him. I mean, maybe not financially, but it broke him between the ears, and he finally left the game. You know, and that's what brought about free agency in every sport. And you know, Coach, that's just the nature of it. And I think it's unfair to say that he abandoned Cleveland. No, I think the same thing is going to happen to the Panthers if they don't surround Cam Newton with some people. If they don't get serious about getting an offensive line coach, somebody will. Somebody absolutely will get serious enough about providing this guy with the type of line that he has to have to allow him to do the things that he wants to do. And I won't. I mean, I hope he does. I hope it doesn't come to that. But you know, Cam Newton is not going to stay in Charlotte if they don't get serious enough about spending enough, or if they don't make the position here attractive enough to get free agents. And I'll tell you the way you don't absolutely don't do that. You don't have your owner looking like the owner's mad dog in collective bargaining agreements. And, you know, I mean, I think that one of the reasons the Panthers have not signed free agents is because of the aggressiveness that that Jerry Richardson went at being in charge of the negotiations on behalf of the owners. I mean, he wanted that position. He wanted to get it under control. And as soon as they did get an agreement, he fired the Panthers team representative, John Casey. You know, I mean, you know, Casey made a kick to beat him the following season. You know, I mean, you know, why would you want to play for that guy? I'm sorry. And, you know, that's something that I don't hear people talking about. You know, and they're talking about tonight they were going to announce on on CBS the Mount Rushmore of who are the four people that you had put on, you know, for the Panthers. And it was really hard to come up with four people. And, the most common four were Julius Peppers, who's not there, Sam Mills, who was only there for 2 years, Steve Smith. And, you know, Steve Smith is probably the only one that truly deserves to be on it because Julius Peppers is not a Panther anymore, you know, and people shouldn't think of him as a Panther. He left. But then they talked about John Fox and Jerry Richardson. Ricky, I think it's an embarrassment that an organization has been in place for 17 years, and when you talk about your top four figures in the history of the program, one of them is the owner. You know, I'm sorry. The game is not about the owners. The owners make the money. They make a ton of money doing it, and power to them. But that's what was being bandied about, that you got to put the big cat on the Mount Rushmore for Carolina Panthers. Are you kidding me? But if you really step back from it, other than Steve Smith, who would you put on that Mount Rushmore, Ricky? What other three Panthers merit that? I'm sorry, John Fox, who, you know, had a couple of winning seasons here, took him to the Super Bowl, but you know, his career ended badly here. You know, the other guy everybody wants to put on it, Julius Peppers, told us to take a hike, you know, and then you're going to put the owner Are you kidding me? That's as Mickey Mouse as it gets, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know who CBS ended up having on that list, but, you know, so LeBron James leaves Cleveland. I think that's not what I hold against him. What I hold against him is I don't like Miami for the same reason I don't like the Yankees. They go out and they buy a championship team. There's just something that I can't pull for, but that doesn't mean that I don't respect the heck out of what it is the Yankees do, and I certainly respect what the Miami Heat have done. And I do respect their aggressive attitude in going out and getting the right people to make those franchises be at a championship level. I am pulling for Miami because I think that LeBron James has shown me that he has earned the right to be called the best, certainly of his generation, maybe the best all-around player ever. And I'd like to see him win four or five championships because I like seeing the guys who are the best win it. Because nobody works harder than he does. Nobody's more intense than he is. And nobody wants to win the game more than LeBron James. So I'm actually pulling for him this time around. And I hope I'm hoping, as you say, for seven really good basketball games. I hope that game seven comes down to the final minute. It's not going to, though, Ricky. The man is too good. He's too good.
They were talking earlier about how what Miami did with the big three, that it kind of changed the face of the NBA basketball. And, you know, I start thinking about it, and, you know, he's right. He was absolutely right. They, you know, I don't look at it as buying a franchise. I think there's so many talented players out there and so many talented general managers out there that, you know, you get the right pieces. You take the best team in the league and you look at what they have and what you need to have to beat them. It comes down to you and that team in a playoff, and you go out and get those pieces. If Smith is not throwing elbows and getting put out of game, so he gets out of rhythm. If Smith is playing the series like he played the first game, you got Smith, you got Stoudemire, and you got Carmelo. That's just as big as three as what they have in Miami. Even, you know, the Spurs have the big two, and I guarantee you if there was another three available, they would have it, you know.
But, Coach, they don't have LeBron. I'm going to change subjects right quick because we would be remiss if we didn't mention that the College World Series in baseball starts. And it's interesting. I'm going to run through these teams real quickly, Coach. We've got about 2 minutes left. South Carolina from the SEC plays at North Carolina. Rice from Conference USA plays at North Carolina State. Oklahoma from the Big 12 is at number four LSU from the Southeastern Conference. From the Pac-12, UCLA is at Cal State Fullerton. Cal State plays in the Big West. Those are the Friday games. The Saturday games, we got from the Big Ten, Indiana versus Florida State from the ACC. Then we have Southeastern Conference's Mississippi State versus ACC's Virginia. Big East, soon to be ACC, Louisville is at Southeastern Conference Vanderbilt. And then Kansas State from the Big 12 is at Oregon State from the Pac-12. That there are eight teams from the ACC or the SEC. If you count Louisville, that's nine of the final 16 baseball teams are from the ACC and the South. Then you have, you know, a couple from the Big 12, a couple from the Pac-12. But that starts Thursday and Friday, and we'll be talking about that next week. But, Coach, we're now down to 60 seconds. You get the last 60 seconds on the Coach Ricky Clark, Coach Joe Ledford, Let's Talk Sports Show.
I would, Joe, I would love to be sitting in the stands at that Carolina State baseball game. That's one I know I would set through. So I'm up in the air. I'm a Carolina guy, but I always love to see State do well in whatever they do. So kind of up in the air about that. But I do know that Carolina put the wood to them earlier in the playoff and in the season. So I give Carolina the edge in that. I was taken back. You know, you were talking about Jerry Richardson and how he runs things. I see where the report is are taking the city councilor back to court over secret meetings about raising $900 million to renovate the stadium. That's a lot of money. You know, you're gonna, the media, if you're listening, and I doubt if you are, but you're going to hear about that. That's not $900 million. They're not going to pull that out of thin air. I think the public has a right to know, but and you tell me, do you think they have the right to be in every little meeting that they have when it's that much money trying to be raised?
No, I don't. I don't. I think there are times that the government needs to go into executive session, and we'll talk about that next week because we're out of time here on WDCU, Daniel Clark. Let's Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio. He's Coach Ricky Clark. I'm Coach Joe Ledford, and we'll see you next Tuesday night.